Welcome to church. That's not only a greeting, but it's the name of our series that we've been talking and working through today. Just talking about church, what that's all about. But it's also, more specifically, the title of our sermon today is a welcoming church. Now, most churches think they're welcoming, and they do some things that facilitate that and welcome people, right? There's greeters and there's ushers that give you a bulletin. And as you walk in, there's signs that kind of direct you to where you're looking for. Or maybe even outside, there's a sign that says visitors welcome or everyone welcome. You know, if you go on the website, you can sort of navigate around and get information about, well, what is this church all about? So there's that kind of stuff. But then more importantly, when you sort of become part of the church, how do you interact with each other? How do we treat one another? And whether you're a visitor or a regular attender or a member, most people want to be part of a church that is welcoming and loving and accepting. Well, Paul is writing to the church in Rome about being a welcoming kind of church. Because they had problems with that. They had differences of opinion, which is okay. Every church has stuff like that, where not every Christian agrees on everything. But it was a problem for them, and it was going to be a bigger problem for them. Why was that? Well, the Roman church was comprised of two really separate, or distinct, rather, groups. One were the Jewish Christians who grew up with all the Old Testament, you know, festivals and days and traditions and dietary laws, you know, that was their background. But then there was another group. They were the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and that wasn't part of their background at all. And so you could see, and we will see, and he'll mention a couple of specifics, when you put those two groups together, and we're not sure of the ratio, but it's a combination of Jews and Gentiles, and now they're part of a church. And they were divided over opinions, not convictions. Right? The Bible is very clear on this is truth, this is error. These things you must believe. These things you must do, these things you must not do, that wasn't their problem. They agreed. They agreed that the Bible is God's word. They agreed that salvation was by grace through faith in Christ. They believed in the deity of Christ. Those weren't the issues they were talking about. It was more about opinions. Like what? Because we can have those same kind of things today, right? Where the Bible doesn't say it's right or wrong. It gives some principles, perhaps, and we're going to look at some. But it gives the freedom for every Christian to decide for themselves. Let me name some. Music styles. Do you listen to just Christian music or secular music? What translation of the Bible do you use? The use of alcohol. Can Christians dance? You know my answer to that? Some can, some can't. Where do your kids go to school? Public school? Private school? Homeschool? What do you do about Halloween? Who are you going to vote for in the election? Tattoos, piercing. The list can go on and on and on, right? Movies, playing cards, wearing makeup. And what some things seem silly to you may be serious for other people. And we'd all have our lists, and depending on the issues, we would have an opinion as to where we stand. Well, when you throw all those people together in a church, How are you supposed to have unity and it be a welcoming church? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to give you four principles from our whole chapter here, Romans 14. Here's the first one. A welcoming church is diverse, but not divisive. There's going to be people on different, the whole continuum probably, of whatever opinion of the issues that they would want to talk about. In all of these, let me do this. Let's talk quick about a problem and then the principle. Here's the problem. We don't all agree on the non-essentials, right? With the Jews and the Gentiles, you could see that there could be challenges. What do you do with the Old Testament dietary laws and the festivals? Jewish converts, that was very much part of their background. And they thought about those things. Gentiles, not so much. The phrase or the terms here, and you talk about someone weak in faith and someone strong in faith. Both in faith, both are Christians, but kind of how you live out that faith. The weak person says, you know, that kind of bothers me about, for instance here, about what we eat. And so in order to sort of avoid that, I'm just going to eat vegetables. The stronger Christian would say, that doesn't bother me at all, and that's not an issue for me at all. Now, let me give you a little background. Probably would help. In those days, most meat in Gentile areas of the ancient Near East were first sacrificed to pagan gods. And if you came out of that background, you would say, you know, in good conscience, I can't eat that kind of meat. You know what that was? Sacrificed to gods? I think the Jews would say, we know that those gods, they're not anything. That doesn't bother me at all. And so there would be some tension there. When it comes to days, I think the groups flip-flopped. Jews grew up very much that their calendar was full of sort of special festival days and holidays, we would call them, you know, from the Old Testament. And they would use those to celebrate, and that was part of their fellowship with God. Gentiles, not so much. Jews even today have a rather full calendar of holidays. Two coming up here in September. Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. This year is September 19th. And Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is September 28th. Jews today still celebrate those and other days. Gentiles, we don't have that. They're a little more freer. In the mind of a Gentile, every day is special, right? Carpe diem, seize the day, enjoy the moment. They didn't agree on these non-essentials. So what do you do? Well, here's the principle, is we accept one another. You could see how this could cause problems, right? One who eats despises the one who abstains. Well, don't do that. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Both are believers, both have saving faith, both believe in the essentials. Yes, we're talking about the non-essentials. They disagree, but they need to accept one another. God accepts them. Well, here's an easy solution, at least for the food debate. Just form two churches. The Church of the Carnivores. That'd be an interesting name for a church, wouldn't it? And the First Church of the Vegetarians. And just have two churches. But see, Thankfully, God is committed to a higher but more challenging solution. It's not, the problem is not diet and days. It's about acceptance, accepting one another. Right? We accept. That's the opposite of reject. It means to receive, to open your heart towards. The great theologian of the third century, Augustine, said this. It's often quoted, and I think it really fits nicely here. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity or love. So a welcoming church is diverse, but it's not going to divide over these issues. Here's a second one. A welcoming church points to God. That is, what's the church's focus or emphasis? You know, what is, when you're part of a local church, your life, what is that appointed to? Well, here's the problem, is we all follow our consciences, and in matters not specifically commanded or forbidden in the Bible, that's what we should do. We should follow our conscience. It's always wrong to go against your conscience because you believe that's what's right or wrong. Verse 5 says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Between you and the Lord, God, here's what I'm believing about this issue and this or this practice. And you have the freedom to be just fully convinced in your own mind. You also need to give that same freedom to other people, right? That's usually the challenge. Well, I've got that freedom, but you know what? My brothers and sisters have that same freedom, that they're going to follow their conscience. But what if we disagree? Well, here's the principle. We all answer to God, not to each other. God, you really have the right to rule, and so I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you deal with those who disagree with me. And I don't have to straighten them out. So I'm going to even refuse to criticize those who believe differently than me. They read a different Bible translation from me. They have a tattoo. They're not going to vote like I vote. You know what it was for me? This was years ago that the Lord talked to me about is people wearing jeans in church. I'm dating myself here. But I grew up in a family where we went to church every Sunday. That was part of our normal routine, and we always dressed up, and it was kind of a issue of respect, is what my parents said, you know, for God and the people of God. And okay, I mean, those days have long gone. People wear all sorts of things to church now, but it really bothered me when my fellow brothers and sisters in our youth group wore jeans to church. That's against the rules. Well, I looked in the Bible and, dang it, there's no verses about wearing jeans in church. There just aren't. And I had to realize, you know what? That can't be a rule. That's an opinion. I have my preference and practice, and they have theirs, and it's okay to do that. That was a long time ago. I've gotten over that, obviously. But but for a while there, you know, as a young Christian, I thought, they can't do that. Well, wait a minute. They don't answer to me. They answer to God. That's a welcoming church. It's diverse, not divisive. They point to God. Here's a third one. Is kingdom focused? When we gather as a church, what are we trying to do? To build to accomplish? You know, what's it all about? Well, the problem when we get together is we can judge one another. He even tells the church there in Rome, don't do that. Don't pass judgment. Don't come to a negative conclusion about a Christian brother or sister based on kind of some external things. Now remember, these are gray areas, right? A disputable matter that Christians have the freedom to disagree on. So let's say 3 months from now is Halloween. I don't know if you've experienced this, but Christians disagree about Halloween. Should we celebrate it? Shouldn't we? Should we pass out candy or not? Or just turn our lights off and don't answer our door? Can our kids wear costumes or not? And what kind of costumes can you wear? Last couple of churches we've been at, we have done, our church decided to do kind of a Halloween alternative for our community and have a fall festival. It was inside, sometimes it was outside, but mostly it was inside. Halloween in Minnesota can be cold. The year we moved here, that's the year it snowed on Halloween. Do you remember that? Like we got 18 inches or something silly, you know, like, man, what kind of state is this? But anyway, it was great. And we had all sorts of different things and people from the community would come. Well, there were some in our church that didn't like that. They were against Halloween, and they thought the church shouldn't do that. And you can pick issue after issue, and you can judge one another. We went to your kid's wedding, and they had a dance. Yeah, well, you served alcohol at your kid's wedding. And you can judge back and forth and back and forth on pick an issue, and we can make it an issue. Well, here's the principle. What we should be doing is building God's kingdom, not our own, right? It says, make every effort. Don't put a hindrance in the way of this. Don't make, verse 15, by what you eat, don't destroy the one for whom Christ died. Verse 17, the kingdom of God is not about these kind of things, eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy. So let's pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So a mature Christian, a mature church says, that's what we're building, is the kingdom of God. Now, these principles are God's principles, and they're true no matter what era or what area of the world you live in, but the issues change over the years from time to time. So let's talk about a brand new issue that the church has never had to deal with before, COVID-19. Do Christians disagree about this? They do, don't they? About what's the proper response, what an individual practice should be, what a church practice should be. And even for our church, no matter what we have decided or will decide, not everyone will agree. But we have tried to be very wise and gracious about what we're communicating and implementing. And we're not trying to build our own little kingdom, right? We're trying to build God's kingdom. And I think when people see that's the kind of a church they want to be part of, that's very welcoming. That we're not just about our little corner of the world, but we're involved in building God's kingdom. So that's a welcoming church, diverse but not divisive. It points to God, not self. It builds God's kingdom, not our own kingdom. Here's one last principle or truth, is that a welcoming church considers others. Think of the terms or the metaphors that the Bible uses about church. The church is a body. The church is a flock. The church is a family. And you know this, so that when we're together, which we miss, but we're glad we can be together like this, but when we're together, our attitudes and actions sort of rub off on each other and affect one another. And Paul warns us that sometimes we can cause others to stumble. That is, by our actions, our brother or sister, they're offended or distressed by what we do. Now, when I was first reading this, I thought, well, man, that's almost impossible, because no matter what I do or what I don't do, somebody's probably going to be offended somewhere. Well, that's probably true. But the context here is, in a church where people know each other, it's not talking about don't offend anybody, but don't offend the weaker brother. So if someone's offended by what we are doing, we need to consider them. Consider how your actions going to affect them. So let's say this. I'm out on a fishing boat with some buddies, and I crack open a beer. And my fishing partner is offended by that. Now, does the Bible say anything about alcohol? It does, right? Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And Timothy talks about one of the criteria or qualifications for an elder and a pastor is not to be addicted to wine. But then Paul also tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach problems. I liked one guy who shot back, yeah, well, that was to rub on his tummy, not to put in his tummy. I think, no, I think it's pretty clear. The Bible doesn't prohibit the use of alcohol, but it does prohibit the abuse of alcohol. So for Debbie and I, we are teetotalers. We mentioned that to our young waitress in the restaurant one time, and she didn't even know what that word meant. We had to explain, that means we don't drink. Oh, okay. Would you like water? Yeah, water would be great. Well, we don't drink because we think that that's wrong, but what we realize that as a pastor, for some Christians to see me drinking, that might cause them problems. So to just avoid that, we totally abstain. Now, if there's other people that don't take that same practice, that's okay. We're not judging them. That's where we've landed. Here's the principle. It's all about faith. Faith. When I'm driving in my car and I see the rectangular sign that says yield, what does that mean? It means I look and see if there's somebody else in the lane or coming or whatever, and I don't go there. I yield to them. I give up my right. Well, that's the same principle in the Christian life. I'm going to yield to somebody. Liberty may say, you know, I can do this. But love is going to say, I'm going to consider somebody else. So it does say faith is important, and it starts with your own faith. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. God, here's where I come down on this issue. Thank you for the freedom that you've given me. Here's where I'm at. But it says, keep your convictions quiet. Don't feel like you have to broadcast that to everybody. Just like I did. I know. I already violated that principle here. But you don't need to make it a rule. Because, yes, you need to focus on your faith and where your conscience is at. But you need to consider other people too. Right? Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. Other person's faith is important. And it talked about edifying one another and building one another up. Boy, a little bit of building up and encouraging and helping someone's faith, that can go a long way. But the opposite's true too, isn't it? A little bit of tearing down and criticism and judgment, that can go a long way too in hindering somebody's faith. Well, a welcoming church is accepting, is God-honoring, is kingdom-building, and it's considering other people. Let me close with this one little story. The Baptist boy suggested to the little Methodist girl who lived next door that they play church. And the little girl says, "Well, I'll have to go ask my mother." And she came back later shaking her head saying, "Mother says we can't play church because we belong to different abominations." Well, we do belong to different denominations and different churches. And as long as our brothers and sisters agree on the essentials, there can be great acceptance and love and welcome. And they don't answer to us on the non-essential things. They answer to God. And so, not only with other churches, but even in our own church, I pray that NEFC would always be a welcoming church full of grace and truth. Let me close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you have welcomed us into your church and your family by your grace. And thank you for the principles that you give for us to live that way. You don't just say, "Well, I've saved you and good luck, figure it out on your own." No, you have given us many things on how to live. You've given us everything that we need on how to live. So, Lord, help us as we learn from your word, as we discern how to apply those truths in our lives, and not just for our own sake, but even as we live among other people. And sometimes we disagree with those folks. Help us to live like you would have us. Thanks, Lord, for today. Bless us this day and all our days. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to close today by just one final song, "Build My Life." Let's stand and sing that together.